Welcome to worship on Sunday, the 7th of February. Praise the Lord.
How good it is for us to praise our God.
Great is our Lord, who understands us, lifts us up, and strengthens us.
Sing with joy and thanksgiving to the Lord, who fills our lives with steadfast love.
Praise the Lord. Everlasting God, Creator of the ends of the earth, you stretch the sky over our heads, like a canopy filled with twinkling lights. You are great in strength and mighty in power. Scarcely are we sown on this earth, scarcely do the stems of our lives take root, before the winds blow and we are carried away. Yet you care for the least of us, healing the brokenhearted, gathering up the outcast, lifting up the downtrodden. Holy One, Creator God, renew our strength this day. Lift us up on your wings of love, and guide us with your ancient wisdom and truth. Empower us to be your people, that all may know the power of your love. Amen.
Praise to the
Today's first Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. The message of chapters 40 to 55 in the book of Isaiah centre on the good news of the end of the Babylonian exile. The Babylonian captivity or exile was a period in Jewish history during which many people from the ancient kingdom of Judah were taken to Babylon after the defeat of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. This took place around the year 600 BC. When Babylon fell to the Persian king Cyrus the Great In 539 BC, many of the exiled were permitted to return to Judah. The prophet Isaiah captures the mood of the people held in exile and offers words of faith and hope to those in the doldrums. Some people are better at sharing their feelings than others. Some of us struggle to articulate how we feel. Before this current lockdown, I read an article in Psychology Today entitled "The Emotions of Living Through a Pandemic." The author, a psychologist, listed an A to Z of people's feelings during COVID-19. They included feeling angry, depressed, fearful, grieving, lonely, quiet, stressed, worried, yucky, zany, and many others. The point was made in the article that as we navigate through our day-to-day lives, during a situation like the one in which we find ourselves just now, our emotions can be a roller coaster of ups and downs. When I read Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31, a word that catches my attention and with which I can identify is the word weary. I'm weary of COVID-19. The captivity of this virus leaves me feeling like the clouds have enfolded me. When things are against us and seem overwhelming, it can affect us spiritually as well as in many other ways. We struggle to remember what to believe or why we believe it. We can forget who God is and who we are. The prophet Isaiah asked the question, "Have you not known? Have you not heard?" In answering those questions, the prophet Isaiah reminds us of who God is and who we are, so that we might have hope. When we are weak, God remains strong. This non-fainting, unwearying God reaches out to us and offers us life. Faint, weary, powerless, and exhausted, like the exiles to whom Isaiah is writing, we are to wait for God to renew us, to recreate us. The prophet calls us to hope and to expect with confident faith in a God who gives life where there is none. We may be in the dull days of February, but spring will come. Listen to the words of Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Let us pray. Holy God, we have not always lived your justice. We have defended the privilege of the powerful while ignoring the needs of the downtrodden. We have admired the splendour of the wealthy while forgetting the wonders of your creation. Give us the heart of Jesus to care for the sick and take pity on the afflicted. Give us the Spirit of Christ to spend time in prayer and keep your path clearly before our feet. Give us the love of your Son to be at ease with everyone we meet, that we may truly be instruments of your grace. Holy One, you know the burdens of our hearts, the exhaustions of our lives, the illnesses that threaten to destroy us. Lift our burdens, renew our strength, heal our ills in body and in soul. Amen. Hear God's promise to all. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Know that God's promise of grace and forgiveness is free to all.
Soar like an eagle, bear me up till I float in the blue. Give me mountains to climb, give me poems to rhyme, give me dreams and I'll make them come true. Give me hope and I'll build a tomorrow, build it strong and as big as
people's are one, being different.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 23.
When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. To do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
You would need to feel passionately about doing something before you would use the word compelled to describe your reason for doing it. This is precisely the word that the Apostle Paul uses to explain his reasons for proclaiming the gospel. He is compelled to do it, and he's willing to give everything for the advancement of that gospel. We know from the story of Paul's life that when the going gets tough, he doesn't give up, but continues, because sharing the gospel is his calling and purpose. Paul's passionate about this gospel because it's good news for all. He's resolved to share that good news with people regardless of their theological stance, value system, racial and cultural background, or whatever other distinctions there may be. In this passage just read for us, Paul shares insights about how to share the good news with others, whether they're like him or not. Paul sees people as who they are and accepts them as they are. He's willing to meet people where they are and connect with them, rather than waiting for people to be like him or demanding that they meet certain criteria. Paul's deep desire is to share the good news with everyone. If Jesus had waited until Paul's practice and heart was changed, Paul might have never connected with Christ. In Christ, God comes and embraces us where we are and as we are. For Paul to be a partner with the gospel means to do for others what God has done for him. In his earthly life, Jesus got alongside people from all walks of life to share truth, love, and hope. Paul felt compelled to do likewise. We're called to do the same. At the present time, it's hard to be the church. We're limited in what we can do and be. Yet we are the church, today, at this moment. There are always lessons to learn in every experience of life, in pleasant times and challenging times. These days, frequently, I find myself asking, what's the church going to be like when we eventually get back together again? Will it be the same as before or different? What do we want it to be? I don't know about others, but I feel compelled to play whatever part I can, and making it a church that identifies with God and with all of God's children, that will build bridges and bring about transformation. That would be good news. That would be a sign of hope and witness to God and a humble offer of new life to the changing world.
Channel of your peace.
true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be controlled as to control, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel. Pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Let us pray. Wonderful are your gifts, and infinitely more wonderful are you, God of Christ Jesus, and our God. Each day declares your generosity, and each night displays your glory.
We thank you for the good earth beneath our feet, for the abundance that rises from its fertility, and for all the creatures that share its providence.
We thank you for streams and lakes, for the rivers and the oceans, for the winds that sweep the earth, and the air that maintains our life breath by breath.
We thank you for the skies above us, the mind-blowing expanses of the universe, and the billions of stars that tease our curiosity and help keep us humble.
We thank you for the human race, with its diversity and similarity, its creative minds and its precious saints, and with its potential to be far wiser than we have yet known.
We thank you for the special people who have helped shape our lives, family members and neighbours, friends, colleagues, teachers and counsellors, and strangers.
We thank you for the leaders and prophets of the Bible, most of all for Jesus, whose spirit still encourages us, yet disconcerts us, gives us answers, yet raises deep questions, saves us and entrusts us with a gospel that belongs to the whole world.
By the power of your Holy Spirit, loving God, enable us to turn our thanksgiving into deeper love and our praise into more robust faith.
Most holy God, you have sent us Jesus to mend that which is broken, bridge that which is alienated, and to heal that which is diseased. In his name, our troubled hearts speak to you of those many people whose needs are dire and whose comforts are few.
We speak to you of our concern for places where there is conflict, violence and misery, war-ravaged countries, domestic cruelty, bullying in playgrounds, workplace intimidation, gang warfare on streets, or terrorist attacks.
We speak to you of our concern for all displaced people, refugees, fugitives from oppression, and for all separated families and traumatized children.
We speak to you of our concern for neighbors, colleagues, or members of our own families who are finding life difficult, some fighting terminal illness, the disabled, the unemployed, others in despair from broken relationships, some grieving a death, many caught up in the outworking of this pandemic, for which there seems no obvious answer.
We speak to you of our concern for the church, with its flourishing or weak congregations, some with members filled with self-doubt, and some with overconfidence. For those where sadly there's conflict between members, for those without a spiritual presence.
We speak to you now, loving God, of ourselves. Help us, in our own small way, to be more like your compassionate Christ. Shape our thoughts, sift our feelings, supervise our efforts, bless our abilities, that we may get the best of each day and give the best to those around us.
Through the grace of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.